Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let us pray. A pledge of peace from God I see, when thy pure eyes are turned to me to show me thy good pleasure. Jesus, thy spirit and thy word, thy body and thy blood afford my soul its dearest treasure. Keep me kindly in thy favor, O my Savior, thou wilt cheer me. Thy word calls me to draw near thee. Amen. Jesus teaches us to sing the new song. He writes the song by suffering and dying and rising from the dead. The new song can't get old because the new song sings of new life that can't die. And if you think of all the other songs that we sing on this earth, they sing of things that do die, that do fade away. So you have a lot of love songs. And yet, it always amazed me. I remember really liking Garth Brooks when I was a young whippersnapper. And he had this song about, I forget what it was, To Make You Feel My Love, which Adele recently made more popular. You guys know that song? And at the time, he was with his wife, but then he left his wife. And I thought, man, all those empty promises, you know? People make promises and they break them. Or people sing about sorrow and it's somehow cathartic to sing about it. But the new song embraces sorrow, of course, but it embraces Christ's cross, which doesn't end in sorrow, but leads to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, who lives and can die no more, which means the song is new and eternal. This is why Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. What things? What things? Your bodies, your souls, your relationships, all of these things, the things, your talents, your abilities, your eyesight, your health, all things he makes new. That is what Jesus does. And that is what the new song teaches. We'll sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things, miraculous things. He raises the dead. He makes the dumb to speak. He teaches us the end of sin and death. Jesus is the one who conquered our enemies. He overcame the devil by taking from him the power of death. He took our sins into his own body and destroyed them. Sin is what makes everything old. This is why he can teach us the new song. If he can take our sin away, then he can give us a song that never gets old. Now the Father and the Son send the Comforter. And the word, I don't know if some of you remember, you know, in TLH, we use the word paraclete a lot. You guys remember that word paraclete? It's the Greek word for parakletos, and it really means comforter. And I don't like this helper stuff. It's almost like he helps us do something. No, he comforts us. We don't need to do anything. He gives everything to us. It's by grace alone. So comforter is much better. And he sends the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to teach us this new song. And the Holy Spirit teaches us all of the deeds of God, these miraculous, amazing things that he's done, how his right hand, the Son of God, has won the victory. And how does the Holy Spirit teach us to sing the new song? Well, Jesus explains it when he says that the Holy Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said to you, the Holy Spirit will take what belongs to me and declare it to you, speak it to you. And so he does it through the word. And he does it through his word, Jesus says, in three ways. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And we're going to get into these three things so that we can understand them. First, he says he's going to convict the world. Well, what is the world? What does the world represent? The world is, we think of a globe, or we think of just simply everybody in the world. And the world represents unbelievers. That's what it represents. That's why the devil is called the prince of this world. How does the devil rule? He rules by unbelief. Did God really say? And then he turns you away from the word that sustains your faith and destroys your faith with the lie. And so the world represents and means the world of unbelievers. And God loved this world. God loved a world of unbelievers. He loved us when we were his enemies. And he sent his son to die for us. But he wants to take us finally away from the world. And so this is why Jesus says to his disciples who have believed his word, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. That is, you don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to unbelief. You trust in me because my words have been spoken to you. And you have all come into the Christian faith because the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. He has separated you from the multitude of unbelievers and brought you into the ark of his church. And what makes a person a member of the church of God but faith in the gospel? It's given to you in your baptism and elsewhere. Now first, it's kind of weird because it says he will convict the world of sin because they don't believe in me. And that's interesting because aren't there all sorts of sins? You know the Ten Commandments. You shall love God above all things and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And people focus on certain sins that affect them. It could be gossip in the workplace or in the family. It could be adultery. It could be grudges and hate being held in people's hearts. People focus on these things and they think, hey, these are the real sins, or murder or theft or something like that. These are the real sins. And yet the reason that the Holy Spirit convicts the world is because they don't of sin is because they don't believe in Jesus. Now, how is this? Why is this? Because Jesus bore the sin of the world. And so since Jesus, as St. Peter says, bore our sins in his body on the tree, and as Isaiah says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, Paul says that God made him to be a curse for us and made him to be sin for us, therefore the whole world's sin has been punished in Christ on the cross. And so the only sin that is left is unbelief. You see, this is what we call objective justification or the universal atonement. Jesus died for the sin of the world. And therefore, the only sin that remains is whoever does not believe shall be condemned. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, John the Baptist preached. Whoever does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Why? Because in Christ, God's punishment and wrath against our sins was taken away. And so the Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus, his victory over sin, and he declares it to us by saying, Jesus took the sin of the world away. And therefore, the only sin that remains is the sin of unbelief. And a person who doesn't believe in Jesus claims all of his sins. He thinks that he can handle his sins on his own. And how does he do this? By trusting in the law. By not trusting in Jesus who took our place. This is why you have been taught, and I think that we should teach it often, because it tells us so much about the world, about your friends and everybody else. It doesn't matter what religion they are. Every false teaching and every other religion amounts to one religion, which is trust in your works. Christians trust in the grace of God and the undeserved love of God that we find in Christ laying down his life for us. But the world, they always trust in their own works. And that leads us to the second point. This is why they don't want to admit that they need Jesus to die for their sin. They want to be able to handle sin on their own. And this is why the Holy Spirit needs to continue to convict people. And the next thing he convicts the world of is righteousness. Why? Because I go to the Father and you will no longer see me. Now this is an interesting thing. First, we're going to talk about what righteousness is. And second, we're going to talk about how it is that what Jesus going to the Father and us not seeing him has anything to do with it. When you look at righteousness, it's not really a word that's used very often. Often you'll see justice. People always talk about rights, human rights, reproductive rights, the right to do this, the right to do that. But generally speaking, righteousness is doing the right thing. It is choosing to do what is good. That's what it is. And the world thinks that she knows what righteousness is, because the devil told us that we have the knowledge of good and evil. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. The problem with the world's righteousness is twofold. One is, it doesn't work. It's such a sad thing. I've gone to funerals, and I don't hear anything about Jesus Christ overcoming death in the grave. But I hear about what a wonderful person this deceased person was. And then the people who knew that wonderful person are like, well, he wasn't that great, you know. It's true. Righteousness doesn't conquer, your righteousness that you have done does not conquer sin and death. It grows old, just like your flesh does. Just like your memory does. It doesn't work. Now, the second thing about the world's righteousness is that people want to see it. This is why the world is always telling people about what they've done. You see this with the lodges, like the Elks Lodge or the Masons. Everybody, look at this. We have a magazine telling you everything that we've done. Forget about don't let the right hand know or the left hand know what the right hand is doing. They want people to praise them because they want to be recognized for their righteousness. In other words, you can see it. And this is how we are generally speaking. What relationship that you cherish have you had where you haven't wished to see a little more righteousness in the person that you love? That's what we want. We want to see it. But the righteousness of God is hidden from our eyes. Why? How is it hidden? Because it only comes through faith. It only comes and is given to us through faith. It is Jesus' obedience under the law. It isn't just choosing which laws we like. It is a love from the heart where the Father and the Son have loved each other. And then the Son, as Galatians says, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. That is to set them free. He took our place under the law, and he loved God, and he didn't just do everything that you failed to do. He also suffered the punishment and the consequences, the death, the judgment, the hell, that the law threatens against us. And when he had suffered it all, he left it in the grave and rose alive from the dead so that he has overcome and fulfilled the law for you. This is why I really like this stained glass here. Because you see on the bottom, not quite on the bottom, but you see the two kind of like tablet things there. And that, do you see that there? That represents that Jesus has fulfilled the law. Those are the two tables of the law. Because Jesus, by his death and resurrection, you see he's living there, has fulfilled that law. And so the law that accuses you, remember the three uses of the law? You have the curb, the mirror, and the... Oh, come on, you got to go back to confirmation class. The guide or the rule, right? The law as a mirror shows you that you don't have this love. You don't have this righteousness. But Jesus says, hey, turn away from the law and see it fulfilled in me. There's your righteousness. But you don't see him. It's not there for you to say, hey, guys, look what I did. It is only there for you to say, look what Christ did. Look what Jesus did. And you can't see it. You have to hear it. It is by faith. Because he goes to the Father. And this is the beautiful thing. He has gone to the Father for you. Who else has gone to the Father? Who else has risen from the dead? Who else did this? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And the world, the world's righteousness is self-righteousness. Christ's righteousness is the righteousness he didn't do for himself, but for you. And this righteousness overcomes every sin that you can see in your heart. And that is comfort. That is a wonderful comfort. That is a new song that can't get old. The third thing, now, the question then is, how do we endure in this world? And the third thing the Holy Spirit convicts the world of is judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, two things. One is, the ruler of this world is who? The devil, right? He is this world's prince, may still, right? He's the world's prince, the world's ruler. And again, how does he rule the world? With false doctrine and unbelief. From these two things come all evils. Okay, that's how he rules the world. But again, what has the prince of this world taught the world to do? You will be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, the prince of this world, the devil, teaches you to be your own judge. Teaches you that your judgment is the right judgment, that you should rely on your judgment and not on God's judgment. But this again goes back to what is Christ's. What is Christ? What belongs to Christ? What is it that the Holy Spirit declares to you? Jesus comes and he comes under the law. And he is judged in your place. That's what happened. All judgment has been given to the Son, Jesus says. All of it. Why? Because everything God has to judge that is evil in the world, Jesus took upon himself. Why do you think in our liturgy we're constantly saying, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the Lord. O Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. We say it all the time. Because it's the center of everything. It's everything. If he took the sin of the world away, then he has judgment. That's why we say from thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Because for a Christian, That is the most joyous comfort. When he comes on judgment day, what are you going to say? As we sing in the hymn, bold shall I stand on that great day, for who ought to my charge shall lay? That is, who will charge me with anything? Fully absolved through these I am from sin and guilt, from something and shame. I don't know. I don't have all these hymns memorized. That's the judgment. Now the devil is going to try to, as you continue to battle against your own flesh, and as the world continues to coax you and tell you that you belong to the world and not to Jesus, and as your flesh and the world tell you, hey, you can be a Christian and still belong to this world, in this battle, it is extremely hard to endure. And the reason it's hard to endure is because of the judgment of your own conscience. Because when you fall into sin, when you stop praying, when you despair of God's help, when you try to get comfort not in prayer, not in looking at what God has done for you, but in drinking too much or going on vacation or leisure just to forget about life for a while, this is how the devil stifles you, and next thing you know, you have this judgment on you. This judgment that you haven't trusted in God, you trusted in yourself, that you've said you are without sin, practically speaking. And so you see that there's so much of the lie in you. You're deceiving yourself. But you need to endure that even when you see your sin and you feel the judgment of the law, you remember that the prince of this world is judge. And the Holy Spirit then takes what belongs to Christ and he speaks it to you and he declares it to you. When our own accomplishments fail to give us comfort, when our righteousness hasn't kept our family in the faith, rather our pride has stood in the way of trusting in God, the Holy Spirit doesn't abandon us. The Son sends the Comforter into our hearts, and he says, the world likes to show off her righteousness and goodness so that you can see it, but I declare to you a righteousness, a goodness that you can't see, but which is yours by faith. Jesus has gone to the Father. He is the way. You don't need to find the way on your own. You don't need to do more to make God love you. You don't need to do anything. Only receive and rely what I declare to you, which is what Jesus has done for you. He died for you. He rose for you. And your baptism, which is the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, makes his death yours, makes his resurrection yours, makes his ascension to the Father yours. All that is his, he declares to you. You don't need to stand on the sinking sand of your own efforts. Jesus, the rock, has done it all. And then a song is born in your heart that can't die, that's always new, because it can't get old, because Jesus is risen from the dead, never to die again, and you are joined to him by faith, and as we sing, even death now cannot part from its Lord, the trusting heart. And when we feel and are afraid of being judged, of the world's judgment and God's judgment, the Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Christ and declares it to us. He teaches us the truth. He pierces through the clouds of our own understanding and shines the light on Jesus judging the ruler of this world, opposing our foes. Any accusation against you is an accusation against Jesus, but he was accused for you, and he took the sin from your body and soul and drowned it in his own blood, and he rose again without that sin. Therefore, the only judge is Jesus, and he judges you clean and pure and righteous, as he says in that beautiful song of songs to his church, you are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. That is how God sees you. And the devil and the world can say nothing to you. St. Paul says in Romans 8, who can bring a charge against God's chosen? It is God who justifies, that is, who declares righteous. Who is it who can condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And that's the word parakaleo, the same word, comforting us, or comforting for us, pleading for us. And so the Spirit will guide you in all truth. It's not guide you into all truth. A lot of the fanatics take this and say, you know, I'm just going to wait for the Holy Spirit to fill me and he's going to tell me all this stuff. And the Roman Catholic Church uses this and they translate it as guide you into all truth because they claim that there's still more truth to be revealed. And so the Pope can give a new revelation. Like, for example, that Mary didn't die or ascend into heaven or something like that. But no, it's in all truth, by all truth. That is, he guides you through this veil of tears with this song that tells you the truth. It's honest to you. He guides you by the truth the world doesn't know, that your flesh can't believe, but you know it, and you believe it, because the Holy Spirit has taken Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil, has declared it to you in your baptism, and he declares it again today in the supper, where the body that died for your sin and was judged for you and has all righteousness is given to you. He takes what belongs to Christ and gives it to you. That's what glorifies Christ. The highest worship of God is when you believe the Holy Spirit, when he tells you that your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. All other worship and all other glory that we can give to God stem from this truth. All that Jesus offered to the Father for you, the Spirit now gives you. Do you feel a loss of innocence? The Holy Spirit declares to you Christ's innocence. Do you feel the loss of health and life? The Holy Spirit declares that Jesus' eternal life is yours. Do you fear the judgment of your peers, of the world, of the law that points out your many sins and failures? The Holy Spirit declares to you that your sins are forgiven and washed away in the blood of the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. He gives you a hope that will not leave you ashamed. That is the new song. It can have lots of different kinds of music, but it is the same song. It can't grow old. It doesn't matter whether you feel like singing it, the Holy Spirit feels like teaching it to you, even in your darkest days, and joy will come in the morning. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Your faith is stronger than your sin, than the world, than death and the devil itself, not because of you, but because of whom it clings to. It clings to Christ who overcame all of these things. And anything you see decay, Christ makes new. Anything you have lost will be given cleaner, newer, and permanently in the mansions Jesus is preparing for you. That is something to sing about now and forever. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.